Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality. Ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good evening and welcome to Ever Beyond. It is June the 3rd. What a day it's been so far for me. Pumping equipment around, going hiddly-widdly, watching people dance to it. That's the best bit. You know, if you're ever at a gig and, you know, you want to show your appreciation to the musicians, do dance because... I mean, it's very nice having people kind of nod their heads and sit still, but it's really great that people express themselves back, because, you know, when you dance, you're making a vibration. Just make sure I'm actually broadcasting. Yes, good. Yes, when you're dancing, you're making a vibration. I mean, imagine if you were in a swimming pool and people were moving around like dance, you'd see all these ripples coming off. Well, actually, that's what happens, but you just can't see it because we can't see air. But you do make vibrations as a dancer. So, you know, you get a big person dancing like me. And there's lots of very low-frequency vibrations that are drifting and bouncing around the hall, you know, as well as these enormous sounds that are coming out of the speaker system. So, yes, yeah, there we go. Always wanted to say that. No, I've never had the chance to actually express that thought, but thank you for giving me the opportunity. Tonight is open night. I'm, you know, last week was infinite consciousness. I don't think you can get any more infinite than infinite consciousness. So, since I always have to go beyond, you know, that's what he's like. This is what we're going to talk about. So we're not talking about any particular subject, but it's always from the esoteric perspective, and that really means the vibrational perspective, because the ultimate truth is that everything is vibration. So that's what I like to talk about on this show. If you're going to have questions, you can put them into the chat room. I'm just going to move this microphone here, hopefully without destroying anything. And then that means that I can... There we go. Sorry about that. But there I can face the screen where the chat room is, and also speak at the same time into the microphone. Well, there you go. So, hello everybody. There you are. We had good fun this afternoon, and like I said, it's a really good thing when people dance, because that's them making their vibration. Really that's what music's all about. It's making vibrations, and it's creating new structures out of air. It's sculpture in air. Think about that. We have a member of the chat room there who actually experienced this thing, Wolf Baby, and it's great to have her along. Thank you very much. So, and Mr. Leprechaun as well. Wow. Well, there you go. It's lovely to see you all, and James and Catherine. And I, as I say, I really love it that we got lots of people from Britain here, because you know, for years I've been listening to American radio and American internet radio, and it's been very sparse to hear, you know, British voices. And I know that, you know, there's a large number of British voices, but they're just not being heard in this genre. So I think it would be, you know, I want to hear more British voice, and apparently, guys, they really like the sound of British voices. I know they sound dull to us, but to them it sounds really exotic. I don't know what it's about, but, you know, that's what, you know, don't tell anyone. All right, so, oh yeah, and Supernatural went quite well. Yeah, I think I managed, you know, I had to keep the thing going. Supernatural's the song with these long notes that you have to get the note to feed back. Actually, that's another interesting thing. I'm trying to think of another activity that involves making something vibrate for as long as you know for a long period of time. It's something that musicians have been you know, seeking. It's been something you can seek for thousands of years, to make a note that can be continuous. The Tibetans, for instance, they got it right, and they managed to find a way of making a bell, or, you know, like a school bell, or a bowl, very much like a soup bowl, made of metal, made of seven different metals, so they all have this particular resonance. They managed to figure out a way of getting them by taking a stick and rubbing the stick around the outside. I can actually demonstrate this because I have a couple of sacred Tibetan instruments. Let me just go, they're just over here, and I'm just going to go pick up my little suitcase that contains my sacred things, and here we are. And yes, this is known in the trade as a ghanta, G-H-A-N-T-A. It looks like a school bell, and it's got a handle thing that is like the thunderbolt, the vajra, which is a kind of, well, it's like, it's almost, it's actually really, it's an antenna, and it's like a dual direction circular antenna. Kind of shape, I'm sure somebody's going to be able to put a picture of this thing is. Anyway, so there's the stick, that's the stick, and that's the bell, and what I'm just doing is I'm going to take the bell, holding the bell just vertically, and then from underneath I'm holding the stick, and I'm going to start rubbing this. And it's kind of a bit like the wine glass thing. And this is a bell that is doing this. So I was just slowly moving the stick around the bottom there. Did you like that? Hope that didn't distort too much. But I'll just demonstrate. It is like a regular bell. Yeah. This one doesn't have a clapper. There is a clapper as well. You go around, and it annoys demons apparently. This thing. What is that note? It's a G. So, there you go. Yeah, so there are very few activities that involve getting something vibrating. I suppose it's like you could run a motor, get it at that sort of pitch. But anyway, so that's what I tried to do. That's what I'm trying to do on the guitar. I'm holding a note and I'm trying to make it vibrate. I first of all pick it, and then I let it ring, and then I get the amplifier to vibrate the string again, and then that goes into the amplification system, and it holds this note, and it's very pleasing, I have to say. Oh, that's good. So this is called a ghanta. I'll spell this, G-H-A-N-T-A. Yeah, it's no, it's a G there, a standard pitch G. And that's my phone. Everything's falling down just now. It must have really annoyed the demons around here. I have to hoover them up. So those things are designed to shatter. Basically, it's like the old. It's a pure note, and it resonates. I mean, it goes through your bones. Some people may have found that unpleasant. Crickets use their back legs. But anyway, it's an activity that I really enjoy. This is, you know, the vibrating of the string, and it takes organizing four other guys to play the rhythm behind it to make it sound interesting. Because just on its own, it's just a long note. Imagine you two without the drums, without the bass, without Bono, just with the Edge. It would be quite boring. It's that's what somebody in their bedroom sounds like. But it's you put them together, you get other people to do their thing, and you can do your thing on top of it, and it's a marvelous feeling. There, yes, well done, James. He's so good. Yeah. Actually, this is something that I'd really like to have, is a board, that can sit beside the chat room, for instance, and that people can post onto it, like James is putting in there with the pictures, because I'm always talking about stuff, and James is putting up pictures. It's like having a slideshow. It's like an intelligent slideshow, and it's beautiful. I don't know of any other radio show that does that. Anyway, I'd really like to have a little screen to put things on. So if anybody's got the kind of PHP skills to find that kind of stuff, let me know, and we can improve the look of All Spirit Radio, and at the other time we can put on a promotion for our other shows and things like that, like a kind of billboard, changing billboard, but without too much, I really, really, really don't want to have adverts for the Berkey water filter or the what's that other Heart and Body extract. I think that's the one that really gets me. The woman with the Heart and Body extract feels like somebody's extracting my heart from my body. Is the singing get me on to focus here. Is the singing bowl the same in a different shape? Actually, no. The Tibetan singing bowl comes in various forms. Let me just get one here. I have one here I prepared earlier. This one is what I call the old style, and it's alloyed with seven metals, and I don't know what they all are, and I know that some of them are copper and gold, and it's got six other metals in it, so it makes lots of sounds. There's lots of different resonances in it because of this. Now, this bowl really, really looks hand-beaten. You can see all the hammer marks on it, but it's got still quite a smooth edge. But this is, it really looks like it's been beaten out of a flat plate and then hammered down so that it's hollowed out. So it's about, it would hold, I would say it would hold maybe about a quart. 2 pints, and you can use it with water in it. You can put it. You can. It's a Blue Peter, JP. No, Blue Peter is a children's program, and they have a certain tone of voice when they're talking about things. That's I suppose that's what I was using. So anyway, this one has a much deeper frequencies, but it's got a whole set of frequencies, and you'll be able to hear some of them as I do this. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to tap the side of the bowl so that you can hear what it sounds like when you ding it. So you can hear it's got lots of different tones. There's a low note, doom, and then as I go up the side, this one I made earlier. Okay, so the type that James has put up there, there's two types. As I said, this one is beaten. The other one is cast. The metal is quite strong. It's quite a tough metal, and that's why it's like brass. You can make cymbals from them because they're quite what's that word? Tensile? They're hard. When you hit them, they don't bow and go dunk like copper does. If you ever tapped a lump of copper, it doesn't ding, it dunks, it thunks. But brass with a bit of hardening gives you this. So this is, it's a sort of brass material. So now if I take this stick, so I'm holding the stick just like a pen. And I'm holding the bowl in my left hand, my left hand is facing palm upwards, and I'm sort of grabbing the bottom of the bowl, and I can also control by dampening the bowl as I move my fingers up the side. By dampening, I can change the tone. So let's start with this, and the way you get these things going, the gunter is easy to get going, but the bowl takes a little more skill I just pulled the microphone down. The bowl takes a little more skill to get going harmoniously. This one can make some awful sounds, so I'm going to try and be as harmonious as I can with this. Okay, you can hear the sound of the stick going around. Hear the sound building up. So they got the suddenly stopping and moving the stick back in the opposite direction. Just going around about half of the bowl here. Kind of describing like a smiley face. And I'm going to go around the bowl again. You hear that dragging, that changed the tone. It takes quite a while when you're playing this bowl. The low notes take a while to start coming out. It needs to kind of warm up. So that's my Tibetan singing bowl. So it's got several frequencies in it, and you heard different tones, like there's this one kind of thing, and then there were these very high, there were some nice high ones, and there's some rather harsh high ones as well. And I think the idea is to be equanimous. To not judge one either way, that one's good and one's bad, that there are different qualities. And then, of course, you can turn it upside down. Play the bottom. So. So that's holding the edge of the bowl quite close to my mouth and going, wow, wow, wow. Listen to this. Bad move, headphones. Well, the low one's good now, you can hear it. Sorry, Rainy. And now we will play some more test tones. If you don't know music notes, well, I believe that every human being is a healer, and that what they do heals in some way. Whether you think you're an expert or not, I think everybody heals in their own way. You know, a little kid jumping on your back could possibly hurt you. On the other hand, they might just jump on the little part that needs to be pushed back in so that you can stand up straight again after 20 years. You know, you never know. You have to assume that the universe is a good place, and it's going to do good things, and it's a positive thing. Yeah. So, grab your Colin. So, yeah. Oh, I found a way. No, hang on a second. There is one last instrument. Where are you? Oh, it's so nice to see all these little things. Yeah, right, okay. No, they're not there. There is one last instrument to the collection here. And if I can... I'm currently fighting my way through my man cave. Oh dear, I missed that one. Okay. And, yeah, because there is the last thing, and I can't find them. They're called Tingsha. And, there they are. Okay. So these fellows, look like little UFOs. Well, I suppose that, I mean, if you think about the shape of a regular cymbal, you know, like a crash cymbal or a ride cymbal on a drum kit, they look like they're about 3 inches wide. I'll just type this into the chat room. T-I-N-N-E-S-H-A. Or T-I-N-S-H-A. Or something. Okay. So yeah, these little fellows, they look like UFOs, and they have 8 8 symbols, 10 symbols on them. And I have no idea what these symbols are. One looks like a odd sort of strawberry thing. One looks like an urn. One's two fishes. One's something with a thing on the top. One looks like a solar star. Yeah, the Vajra. Vajra. Oh, yes, well done. Yeah. Look, search for one of those. Vajra. So here is these tingshas. Now they are very common in Eastern music, but these are quite heavy. They're really thick. I'd say they were about at least 5 millimeters thick at their thinnest part. 4 millimeters. So they're like a solid casting, and they make a sound like this. And again, I'm just going to take it away to ding it. Isn't that lovely? So these are the tingshas, and you know, they play these, you know, like that, you know, and that's a nightmare. Sorry about that, those of you wearing our headphones there. So they use these to begin and end meditations and stuff like that. Oh, I love them. I love these things. We had those little cymbals on a string at school. Huh. Where did you go to school then? In the Himalayas? So, how about, what time is it? It's 5:30. Let's see if I can find this track. Now, there's a track that I made using, certainly using the bell. And it has a... Oh, yeah. Where is it? Come on. Not there, is it? It's not there. Why is it? I always think it's going to be in my playlist, and it isn't. So I just have to go and find it. Where the hell is it? It's in there. And you see the hard drive has to spin up. Come on, yes, there we go. And let's see. That's not going to be there. Oh, this is really good radio, isn't it? Yeah, so a few years ago I had a Macintosh. I was living in my trailer, and I had a Macintosh I've managed to buy it. Oh yeah, I bought a Mac, an iMac. You know, the big old iMac that looked like a kind of TV on a module sort of thing. So somebody had sold me one of those for our local currency, so I had quite a decent machine. And that's number two. Well, anyway, I recorded this. This is called Sia. I'm sorry. I left you there and I abandoned you in silence. You could hear it telepathically, though. It was playing. All right. So, actually, this wasn't the one that I was wanting, because the one that I was wanting to play has another voice on it giving an invocation. Anyway, let's do this one, and this time I'll make sure that I'm crossfaded the right way. And here we go. This is called Seer. Just relax. So there you go. Did that on a Macintosh using GarageBand. Just overdub lots of different voice frequencies, and I hope you like that. The thing is, the first one that I did, and by the way, I basically did this completely spontaneously. It had no, there was no rehearsal or anything like that. So I just started with different frequencies and see where it took me. But I put up an invocation, which is a beautiful little thing, which invokes your soul and power and love of the first. And it's a lesson in the rays, because it's all about the rays, the first three rays, and all of that sort of monadic stuff. And I had it. This is going to do my head out. You'll hear it by the end of the show, because by hook or by crook, we are going to find it. So that was the little tune that I made with frequencies. So, the hong. Hong. You're talking about Hang. It's not Hang. It's a Hong. And it's very Cosmic Nomad, Cosmic Monad. In all galaxies and parallel universes. Yes. Hello. Nice to have you around. So, yes, these Hong drums are absolutely brilliant. And again, somewhere I had Sia. Ooh, original AIF MP3. That will do. Great, I found it. So, in a second, I'm just going to have to transfer it across to. This is live radio. Look at this. My network places. Public on deliverance. There we go. Paste it in. There it is. Find public on deliverance. Deliverance is your transmission system. And there it is. Okay. So here we go. This is now. This is the other version. The way it is. This is Sia. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed playing it again. I haven't heard it for quite a while. That's prompted me for some very interesting talk. That thing that I was talking is something that we learned a long time ago when we were learning about the rays. And actually, if you think about it, or if you were to understand it, as I'm going to break it down right now, we can have a little delve into that little invocation. So the first thing that it says, it says, I invoke the power, the love, and the wisdom of your ashram, soul, and monad. Okay, so what does that mean? Power, love, and wisdom. Okay, those are the qualities of the first three rays. Power is ray one, love is ray two, wisdom is ray three. Okay, so there you go. It just reminds you of the one, two, three. Of my ashram, soul, and monad. Now, that's taking it in reverse order. So the ashram, that's the Eastern word. There is no real, there's no kind of single word for it in English. But basically, it means all the people that you daily interact with, the people in your town that you meet with, the people in your workplace, the people you study with, the people you pray with. You know, your ashram is your personality world, essentially. And so, it's drawing the wisdom from your personality world. The next one it talks about is your soul. Ashram, soul, and monad. So your soul, and by now people are starting to get familiar with what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the area of the soul, in terms of the communication, the channel between the one that we all are, and our individual personality expressions, which is like it's like almost like being a leaf on a branch on a tree. Those are our personality expressions. You know, the leaf grows, it does its thing, it does its photosynthesis, and at the end is drawn back to the branch. You can liken the soul as the branch and the tree as the monad. And you can see that each branch has many leaves and each the trunk has many branches. And so you see the monad is the many, many expressions in different times, different places, different people, but all an expression of oneness. Okay, so I invoke the power, the love, and the wisdom, that's the one, the two and three, of your ashram, soul, and monad. So that's three, two, and one, going back up. And that reminds you of the two triangles, the lower triangle and the higher triangle. The lower triangle of your chakras, for instance, is your crown center representing ray one, your heart center representing ray two, and your throat center representing ray three. And then you have the division of the diaphragm. Diaphragm defines that which is above and that which is below. That is below the diaphragm is your solar plexus, which is ray six, your sacral center, which is ray seven, and your base center, which is ray four. This is in your ascended aspects, as I hold everybody in the luck when I speak. So there you have the beginning of this thing, which is I invoke the power, the love, and the wisdom of my ashram, soul, and monad. Okay, so already you've invoked a huge amount of energy from all of your different levels of being. Okay, then we, you know, as I said, your soul group is a huge soul group, generally the listeners in our chat room are those who have phoned in and got ray readings, and you can listen to all of the. Actually, I have all of my archives on Wolf Spirit Radio, and I'd like to thank Dave very much for hosting my show all these times on Wolf Spirit Radio. The archives go back quite a long way, even beyond when we were officially Wolf Spirit Radio, when we went had other names and things like that. But my shows, and I've been talking about the same thing. I've been, you know, singing to one man and his dog, really, for several years. But people have started to get interested in it now, and that's probably because I've just been going on about it, and somebody's said, "Come on." So let's. If you've got any more questions, just put them in large letters, because I can just about make out, without leaning forward, what's written on the screen over there. So if you've got it in uppercase, it makes it much easier for me to read. I invoke the power, the love, and the wisdom of my ashram, soul, and monad. So you're invoking the wisdom of your ashram, the power of your monad, and the love of your soul, because the nature of soul is love. Yeah, I know, I love saying it. The nature of soul is love. We have that's just the first line. So all of that meaning is compacted into that tiny sentence. I invoke the power, the love, and the wisdom of my. I'm saying it for me, but you're, you know, in saying it for me, I'm saying it for you as well, of my ashram, soul, and monad. So you really are drawing huge amounts of power into you, and you can do this on a daily basis. You can say it, you know, as many times as you like in during the day. It takes about a minute, or you could. Yes, I will. What I'll do is I'll upload it to SoundCloud, but I'll also upload to the archives and allow people to do that, because you can listen to the, you know, it's quite nice to listen to. I hope it's not, you know. Let's just go on, because there's a lot packed into this. Okay, I invoke the power, the love, and the wisdom of my ashram, soul, and monad. Okay, so that draws all the power that's available to you. Two. How's it going? Power, love, and wisdom. My ashram, soul, and monad. Two. Right, okay, so now it's going to go down the three bodies. And it starts to something and inspire my mind to, oh God, it's one of these things, you know, you say it all in one go and you try and break it down and it falls to pieces, like you can't remember what comes after that. To stimulate and inspire my mind. Okay, so you're using this energy that's available to you to stimulate and inspire your mental body, right? So we're coming down in the three bodies, the mental, emotional, or physical, right? So listen carefully. So to stimulate and inspire my mind. There's another word in there. I'll come to it in a minute. I am suffering senior moments today. It's probably the loud music. Our parents were right. It does destroy your mind. To clarify, stimulate, and inspire my mind. That's it. Yes. Thank you for clarifying my mind. All right. For clarifying, stimulating, and inspiring your mind. Then, to transform and transmute my feelings and emotions. Okay, so now we're working on the emotional body. So using all of the power of the ashram, soul, and monad to clarify, stimulate, and inspire the mind. To transform and transmute. So to transform means to take the energy and step it down or step it up, or you know, take it to a different level, and transmute, which means you could change frequency and or transform it in some way, that energy. So you could say, you know, if they're negative energies, you could make them more positive, or turn them, dilute them with compassion, which is essentially, that's the way of this path, is essentially you dilute everything with compassion, you drown everything in an ocean of love, and it does work. It's not flaky at all. It's that's how they've been doing it for thousands of years in the Himalayas, and it's a science of compassion and of harmlessness, and it's the way. So anyway, where were we? Hugging. So we have the emotional body done. So that's the emotional body is to be to transform and transmute feelings and emotions, and then to energize and vitalize and heal my physical etheric body. Okay, So the final part is on the physical plane, and to energize. So all of that power can energize you, to vitalize you, like, you know, to give, you know, not only sort of animate you, but to give you great vitality and joyfulness, and to heal. So that's using your own soul power to heal yourself. Really, that's the way we should all become, in a way, so that we become kind of a self-sufficient re-engineering human. And that's the idea of the initiates, that you become more and more self-reliant on things. Yes, sovereign. So where were we? We have now gotten to the physical. So we've taken the energy of the Ashram, soul, and monad, put it into the mind, put it into the emotions, put it into the body. And then we say, so there's a normal flow of energy in my physical etheric body. Okay, so so using all of that energy that is not abnormally collecting elsewhere, but it flows in a normal way. And keeps the whole system maintained through this day and every day. That's self-examination. I ask this in the name of the Christ to serve the One. So this is interesting. Because it's saying that the Christ serves the One, and as we all know, everybody in the universe serves the One, except those that don't. The Christ is a planetary body. He's the representation in the galaxy for this planet, really. He's been having a hard time. So that's what we do. So you get this this little invocation. You can say that in the morning, it really does work. It really does it works slowly. It's subtle. It's taken me years, but. Now when I do it, you can do it in a minute, and it just gets you into the right state. So, alright. Do we have any questions about what I said? Okay, so we can have call-ins if you want to. You may be calling the second hour. We're 5 minutes away, so I'm going to play a little tuny in a while, and any requests, you got 5 minutes. I'm going to make some more tea, and I hope you do. So that was a very interesting excursion. I actually haven't finished, because there's another little thing there, which is the past is gone. I am the past. It makes me what I am. The future comes. I also am the coming destiny, and therefore I am that. The present flows from out the past. The future colors that which is. I make the future also by my present knowledge of the past and the beauty of the present. And therefore I am that I am. Which is really quite cool. I really like that. It doesn't seem to be, what can I say? It just brings it all back to your inner self. There's no kind of external authorities or permissions or anything like that. It's realizing that you are one with the universe, and that we all are one with the universe, and the universe is one. And when you get to that realization, full realization of that oneness, that's the monad. And that's what it's about. So let's have a see. Yeah, I've got an idea. I know what I was going to play. If I can remember what I was just doing when I was turning around the other way. I'm going to have to turn around, don't I? Memory is the funny thing. Sometimes if you're in the wrong place, you're not able to see what you were thinking about a minute ago when you were in a different place. I was talking about something, having a terrible time doing this. Right, okay, never mind. Let's see if there's any. I see there might be a request here. Alright. Alright, that's not a request. That's a message from the drummer who's had a few ciders and a bottle of red. Oh, thank you, Kevin. Right, okay, that's it. I was going to play something. Oh, yes! Deep in Buddha. This is a tune that I created a few years ago. Actually, a lot of the tunes that I play are quite old now. I don't know what it is about it. It just the music seems to take time to surface, which is interesting because that's another tune from my other band called Slow to Surface. Yes, Destiny. Yes, this is a track which I put together, and this is my teacher, my Treya, and some stuff that I did mixed in with what he was doing. So this is Destiny. I think it's I really quite like this one.
Relax yourself. Focus yourself in the soul, then sound the Om. Breathe it out upon the world of all mankind. And quietly, without sound, express the will of God moves the world. This is a thought you should keep while expressing the Om. Then say slowly and thoughtfully. Has gone. I am the past. It makes me what I am. The future comes. I also am the coming destiny, and therefore I am that. The present flows from out the past. The future colors that which is. I make the future also by my present knowledge of the past and the beauty of the present, and therefore I am that I am.
Okay, so that was the first version of Destiny, and I quite like the version that I do have a better one. I'm going to bring that in, but here is another thing that I did with a different backing track that I think is a slightly cooler backing track. I like it better anyway. So this one's called Deep in Buddha.
Yourself. they come and stand within the midst of the whirling forms, some of a beauty rare and some of war and despair, they stand. They look not here or there, but with their faces turned toward the light they stand. Thus through their minds, the pure light streams to dissipate the fogs. Relax yourself. They come and rest. They cease their outer labors, pausing to do a different work. Within their hearts is rest. They run not here or there, but from a point of peace and rest. That which upon the surface veils and hides the real begins to disappear, and from the heart at rest a beam of dissipating force projects, limns with a shining light, and then the mist of all mankind's creation disappears.
There we go. What do you think of that? I mean, I did these years ago, and it's not that I sat on it, but I just didn't have anywhere to put them. So that was before like SoundCloud came along and things like that. So I'm gradually kind of delving into some of the tracks that I made years ago and saying, oh, they actually fit into a series of ideas that actually years ago I had the idea that I would one day I would release 9 albums at once, you know, just to put the whole thing out. That's like my entire catalogue. And you know, maybe by the time I'm 70 I'll have enough material to put 9 albums out. There you go, my life work. There you go, you missed it. So, yes, did you enjoy that? That was again, that is a lovely little part. It was a quote from an ancient text, which presumably is one of the Vedas, or even earlier than that. They call it the old commentary. You know, these things have been taught and hidden in the Himalayas for thousands and thousands of years, long before any of our modern day belief things have been going, and they have unbroken records that go back, you know, millennia. And it almost made me bob my head. Really, that sounds current. That is so weird. You see, I made these years ago, it just has why nine? Why only nine? Well, maybe one for each decade. But derailed the old track there. These tracks. So I created them, and I forgot about them, and it's maybe time to start assembling them and seeing what I can do with them, and maybe re-recording them. So maybe that, and I'm sure that one of them may be like an internet collaboration album of people that I've worked with, and possibly are yet to work with, doing things together, adding, you know, I can add guitar solos and things like that. it still astounds me that I'm able to get away with enjoying playing my, essentially, a bedroom guitar, and playing it on stage with other musicians. It's still a great honor and pleasure to do so, making that little piece of wire vibrate. So we have had, it's nice, there's some more people come around. It's really nice, the little group you got there, and you're all chatting and stuff. Anyone got any questions about my noodling this evening? Does anybody want to be on? Anybody want to actually contribute? Just get in touch with me on my Skype, we've got some voice from Karen. She is a superb singer, Karen Quintostado, and she sent me a couple of stems, so I'll see what I can do with those. You know who you are. It might be interesting to do stuff. Ah, right, so where are we? It is now 10:10 on Wolf Spirit Radio, and I'd like to draw your attention to the top right hand, just below the wolf, of the web pages, of every single web page. Draw your attention to the donation button. We are listener supported, and it is such a lovely thing to be able to do, and to be able to thank you. So I want to first of all thank you for contributing what you have, and it's always a pleasure and an honor to do this. So, did I record my performance? Actually, what happened is a odd twist of fate, that my ex-girlfriend was the lead singer of the band that I was playing in today, and her ex-boyfriend is now seeing the bass player of the other band who I was playing with, and he's got this massive PA system. It had 32 channels. It was an ocean of knobs and faders. It really was. And he brought this stuff in, and everybody was heaving and sweating because it was like big stuff. So we had 3 kilowatts of power. And obviously it wasn't run really high, you know, to make everybody's ears bleed, but it was, you know, it was a good sound, like you have when you turn your stereo up at home. Anyway, so we had that, and it was a medium-sized hall. It was lovely. And it's not full of reflections, and it's a good venue, and there's a big bar. Everybody liked the bar. Well, I'm in Scotland, you know, what can I say? It's the national sport. It sounds like Peyton Place. Yeah, anyway, so to get to the point, my ex-girlfriend's ex-boyfriend knew recorded it in full 8-track excellence. So what we're going to have all of the parts separated so we can mix it really nicely and, you know, tweak it here and there, and so hopefully we'll have a really nice live recording album that we can put onto SoundCloud, and you can enjoy. Come to steelbadge.com and enjoy it. Yeah. What's so Frank? The delay was throwing me so off with Frank yesterday. All right. Okay. Excellent. 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 Thank you very much, Chris. Yes. So, Venus transit next week, I hear. Well, isn't it interesting? Another thing I like about this chat room is there's a good fair mix of gender here, that we have it's a communal thing. It's a tribal, you know. It's very fair, a council, and the Venus transit to me seems like there's going to be a kind of balancing of powers. And how that's going to happen, I don't know. Cliff Hyer has had some ideas. Now he's saying, shall I just nip off to 1:30 human? I've got one here. Basically, he's saying, yes, ticks in time. So this is from his summertime blog. And this is, from June 7, 8, and 9. The first thing is the temporal echoes. Show this going right. So what you're saying is that there's going to be something that will happen according with the cult of Rome, otherwise known as the Vatican. Expect secrets to be revealed in both the USA and Vatican scandals that not only will shock but will horrify. Now, a lot of us know about this kind of thing. You know, we've seen the stuff. We know what they're like. You know, we've seen the stuff about the abuse that has been going on to the native Turtle Islanders all through the hundreds of years, and particularly sort of manifested by the Church of Rome, the cult of Rome here. So the data indicates that communications between cabal members will be intercepted. So this is like some email is going to be intercepted and leaked and go viral in hours. And that's also going to have a knock-on effect with the global constipation of the financial flows. So it's, you know, it's like... Yeah, there's going to be a collective arse slamming shut in the Catholic Church, and that means that everything stops. Okay, we're going to find out exactly how much influence the Church has, and apparently this blockage will begin on June the 3rd. That's today, late in the evening, Pacific Coast Time, about 9:18 p.m. He's very specific, but anyway, this is Cliff. You know, he's half wrong, right? So half of what I'm saying is wrong, you know, completely overblown, but half of it is right. So it's up to you to it's about today and this week. So this blockage is showing as persisting and growing through to exposure via rupture on 7th, 8th, and 9th of June. So this will be like Thursday and Friday. This constipation and rupture is described as a plank in the gallows for the banksters. A plank in the gallows for the banksters. this economic scandal will not be the breaking point for the global economy. That comes later in the month. The data points to the beginning of the Icelanders disease, editor's note, from the viewpoint of the banksters. So the data points to the beginning of the Icelanders disease spreading to Spain, Greece and Italy. And the Spain references point to a person of historical pride as being the populace's symbol as they engage their oppressors, you know, sort of like shouting Geronimo or something. The data includes Spanish populace will be successful and do it with flair and passion. Ooh. Data suggests that restraint will prevail in at least one of the eruptions of Icelander disease, and that financial oppressors who are not captured, beaten, stripped and paraded near naked, bruised and bloodied will not be killed by the mob, but rather will be released in such a manner that the image will become the most viewed image on earth to its time. I'll just run through that again. Data suggests that restraint will prevail in at least one of the eruptions of Icelander disease. Now, there's several he's talking about, in at least one, that restraint will prevail. That means that he's saying that it's going to get nasty for some of these little... not little. We're saying that he's predicting quite a bit of carnage in terms of bankers and financial oppressors all over Europe. And he's talking about Spain and Greece and Italy. He's also had some other things about Italy in the whole secrets revealed thing, is that there's some kind of food riot that's going to happen that means that they break into the Vatican and get down into the library and reveal all the secrets of the Vatican library. So this should be quite an interesting time, but at the same time that this is nasty stuff. We're talking about revolution in the streets and stuff like that that he's predicting now. Who's to say what's going to happen to the Occupy? Because it's not gone away. I think it would be very interesting. One of the things that Cliff says, or rather the data that Cliff has, is suggesting that the groups who are Occupy Wall Street, Occupy wherever, these Occupy groups, there's no leader. They're what is known as self-organizing collectives. And these self-organizing collectives, you know, it's a holographic way of working. Everybody knows, there's no hierarchy. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows what they want. Everybody just does what they do. And that's how they live. And it's thriving. They've created, you know, just kind of by accident in a way, but they've created a whole new way of living that can work in cities in quite small circumstances. I'm it's very cold here. Hang on, I just have to go over. I'm going to close this door and grab my jumper and my cardigan. There we go. How about this live wardrobe? Here on Wolf Spirit Radio, I'm just putting my cardi on. Suddenly, it's all, you know, just because it's June,
right? In Scotland, just because it's June doesn't mean it's going to be warm in the evening. It drops, the temperature drops. Anyway, there we go. Lovely. Lovely, 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 lovely. So, it's very nice to have you all here. There we go. Yes. They're very well secured and looked after. So, I think it would be a very interesting thing to get those records out in the open. It would be a very healing thing for humanity, I believe. So, any points about that? anyone saying? I'm just going to roll back to see if there's any questions in the chat room. Excellent. Okay. Right. So, at least it's not snowing. It snowed in June. It has. Yeah. Not yet. Yeah. It could snow tomorrow. You know. We had a bit of rain this evening. So. Lovely, lovely, lovely. So, there we go. So, we've had some vibrations and we've had some invocations. Yes. Okay, should we discuss the Catholics? Or the church, at least. Think all this is going to hit us at once. I think... alright, so... at once, alright? Very, very interesting way of putting it, Rainey. Okay, so... Because what we got... I mean, basically, we've also got... at the same time of all of these riots and things going on, we've got a collapsing of time. I don't know if you've noticed, but you can't get as many things done in a day as you used to be able to. For some reason... some things seem to take hours. Some things seem to go by really very, very slowly. And then all of a sudden everything's over and it's all in a completely other world. And time is getting granular. It's like there are long gaps and then suddenly all happens. And then there's another gap and then there's another bit of suddenly everything happening again. A lot of synchronicities have been going on. Do you think the Vatican records are organized in a way it would take years to make sense of them all? I think that's a possibility, but I think we're going to have years, and I think we're going to have some time after this. I really do. You know, where everybody's going to have to take stock of it, because we're coming up to some such intense changes that it's going to take us a long while to kind of really restart and recreate our life, because it's going to be very different. Time is going to be different. I have a feeling I understand what's going to happen, but I might be completely out there. So there you go. Yes, well, basically we need to re-establish councils, you know, local council groups, like elder councils and things like that, and we need to take the women into account and the elders and have them run the place for a while, and let the guys in suits, I don't know, serve at McDonald's or something like that, or maybe serve a kind of healthy version of McDonald's. I think we do need to have a turning around. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Everything happening at once. So we got a grand awakening. We have riots, or at least we're having protests. We're having incredibly peaceful protests, and I think that's what's really blowing them away, is blowing the powers that be away, is the peacefulness of it, the harmlessness of it, is that everybody's, you know, acting really lawfully and it's being very harmless about it, and it's very much like the way Gandhi dealt with the British, and basically they would all line up, and until let themselves be shot, and they would shoot one after the other until finally Gandhi says, look, when's it going to stop? Have you had enough? And really, that's where we're going to be with the powers that be. You know, when are you going to stop? Because we've had enough. So, that one. So what Cliff is saying is that the Occupy movement is actually going to morph into our new society. So I really would study it. I'd really get on board with where they're at, because what they seem to be doing is the wave of the future. And if you want to find yourself
riding that wave, it might be best to look that way. And this is all seventh ray energy, the energy of working together, of organization, without being organized, without a management. People don't need management. We self-manage. We're very good that way. And when we realize our individual skills, we can we're able to express a perfect working organism, just without anybody having to practice, without any rehearsal. It's all we're all able to do that. Let's have a look. What is your opinion on the state of the world today? The world today versus where? Versus what it was in January 1st, 2012. What do you think has changed? Oh, gosh. I've changed. I'm a lot more relaxed about things. I think I'm kind of giving up being worried. That's what the bankers say, so. What do the bankers say? Anyway. Meanwhile. So everything's definitely changing for me. I've seen people evolving. I've seen people. And I really think that one of the main things about evolution, all right, is the ability to let go. It's the, you know, sometimes if you hang on and hang on and hang on, you'll get hit by the truck that was coming because you weren't looking, because you were just hanging on. I think it's very important to be able to let go of people, places, things that are draining you, that are holding you back. And it's really hard to say, because you have to think, well, you know, if I let go, who's going to do it? Well, you don't know, but you never know. The moment that you let go of something, somebody else is there to hold it. They'll be there. Just relax about it. It's going to happen. So watch where your points of stress are in your life. You know, if you think, oh God, I've got to be there, and everything's going to fall apart if I'm not there on time. You know? And what happens? You know, you go along the street you're halfway to work, and you realize that you've left your laptop home. You know that you're going to do the presentation, so you have to drive home, and then you drive all the way back to work, and now you're, you know, 2 hours late because you got caught in the traffic jam, you know, etc. But then you find when you get there that everybody's fine, everybody's talking amongst themselves having quite an interesting time because they had this spontaneous space in which to discuss things and people in the audience get balanced up and up to speed on some of the things. So when you walk in with your presentation, everybody's ready for it. That's called divine timing. Don't stress it. If things happen to be in your way, just say thank you, because they changed your timing. And that's how our friends upstairs work. You know, if you ever see, there's a fantastic film, what is it called? The Adjustment Bureau. Watch that film. I love it. It's absolutely brilliant. There are these fourth dimensional agents who, like tall thin guys in hats, and they just kind of move things around, you know. Just put a little bit of delay here, a little bit of delay there, so that that chance meeting never happens. Absolutely brilliant. I loved it. The Adjustment Bureau. It's on the free movie thing, projectfreetv.com. Check it out. So, kids. Oh, tuck, right. So, where were we? Yes. Sometimes if you hold on tight. What if you try and hold on tight to jelly? Yeah? Or mercury. Actually, you're not supposed to touch mercury anymore. Oh, I remember, you know, when you're a kid, when we were a kid, we used to play with, smash a thermometer and get the mercury everywhere. It used to be little kind of grey, sparkly carpet, because the tiny molecules of, tiny globules of mercury in the carpet, because you just busted the mirror and busted the thermometer, and there's mercury in tiny droplets all over your carpet. Yeah, we used to do that in the 60s. And that's why we're all brain damaged and can't remember things. All right, it's the mercury. They really put it out. I'm sure there's a better way of measuring temperatures without the expansion of mercury, but it is, and it seems a very kind of old and crude way of doing things now. But there's probably mercury in, you know, these little thermometers, the temperature gauges. I don't know, maybe there's an electronic version now. So, oh, yeah. Hi, Eva. It is a great movie. So, where was I? People doing things behind your back. Yeah. It's essentially that we're talking about time and time collapsing. So now what we're having to do, or what I'm finding I'm having to do, is there's no time for rehearsal. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go from one... It's like being a performer and stepping off the stage, driving to another place and stepping right on the stage, you know, without even probably even going through makeup or anything like that. It's so rapid that we have to become to perform some way, you know, to you know, even if it's performing at work, and you know, it's all really a pretense and illusion. Oh. Was three, she bit the thermometer in half, the mother freaked out. Yeah, well, yeah. could have been worse. You're absolutely right, Sam. So anyway, yeah, nasty things. And they used to stick these things in the mouth. Here. You give a child a glass bubble with mercury in it. What are they going to do? They're always going to bite on it. Yeah. There you go. Smart. So, yeah, poison us with soft metals, will you? Anyway, so that's all going to stop soon. We must stop them sticking mercury in our bodies. We've just about realised that you can get away with repairing teeth. Maybe even, you know, I really want the ability for teeth to heal like skin does. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, you cut your skin, and a couple of weeks later, your skin is absolutely perfect, and you wouldn't know that there was any trauma there. Wouldn't it be great if our teeth kind of grew themselves back, and you know, if you got any decay in them, that they would just heal themselves if you scrape the decay off. Wouldn't that be cool? I would have liked that. Anyway, so. We have 25 minutes back. Let's have another tuny, since I'm playing half-hour tunies. What have we got? Yeah. This is a popular one with quite a few people who have heard this before. I'm sure you'll enjoy it at all, too. This is... myself, Neil Sharp, and Liz Senior. This is called Sea Forms. There you go, Liz Senior, Neil Sharp, and myself with C Forms. I hope you enjoyed that. It does something to me, that tune. It's just a little moment, and it was just a random moment. Everybody else was out at the fire, and there was just Liz with her fiddle, and I was just playing a few chords, and there's the timing of it is just seems to be perfect. And you know, a while after it, I said, what were you playing? And you know, sort of what sort of tune were you playing? And she said, I don't know, I was following you. And I said, I don't know what I was playing, I was following you. And so both of us thought that the other was kind of leading it. And so there was, it was a very beautiful little moment. So thank you very much. Yes, that's a nice little tune. So where were we? Tunes, Vaticans, and Half Past Humans. Yes, let's have another quick look at the Half Past Human thing. Because this is the very interesting thing. So what he's saying is now, at the end of the month, once the proverbial poop has hit the rotating blade, which is a kind of financial collapse kind of scenario, and he's saying this, unexpected military events. So unexpected is quoted. So what he's saying, you know, things that nobody expected. Unexpected military events put pressure on the populace, the USA, that will bring preppers into positions of responsibility that will persist for months, if not years. So this sense that a lot of us have had, that one day people will come and ask us, you know, what to do and stuff like that. This looks like it's actually not just a sense of paranoia, but it's actually a sense of your own responsibility that is upcoming. Because you've been studying this stuff. People know that you've been studying this stuff and have been ignoring you for years and taking the mick out of you for years. And very soon they're going to realize that they need your wisdom and they need your knowledge and information, and might have to be nice to you for a change, which is a really nice thing. So if that does happen, that's what we call the meek inheriting the earth, okay? So the unexpected military events will continue into 2013, growing into a dominating liability for officialdom globally. The good news, again quotated, is that the scandals from earlier in June are escalated to such an extent by the conditions on the ground that secrets revealed goes batshit globally and central banksters and their institutions begin the process of failing. So there's something to do with the Vatican, something that is horrible, some horrible truth that will be revealed, according to Cliff, tonight, or it'll start the rupture. There is a rupture that occurs tonight, might even be occurring as we speak, and so it's going to be, imagine there's a very taut fabric, like a curtain, massive theatre curtain that is really taut, and there's great weight at the bottom to hold it down and flat, and that's a little tear. One little thread has just been breached in that fabric, and then the tension then takes over, and the little tear becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what's happening as we speak. So isn't this it's a very exciting time? So the good news is that the scandals from earlier in June are escalated to such an extent by the conditions on the ground that secrets revealed goes batshit globally and central banksters and their institutions begin the process of failing. Again, sad to say, but a good temporal marker will be the identities of the preferred victims of the unexpected military events. These victims will have their day in that for each of them,
The data suggests that thousands of the guilty will perish in flames through dissolving or something. Perish in flames and through dissolving. So, karma rules after all. The data sets are clearly stating that whatever the events of late June are, that the pivotal point for continuation of central banks and new world order and global warfare is breached in these 3 days. There are very small levels of visibility on the breach of stability for existence of central banks, so it is unlikely that the populace will be aware of this significant shift. As the unexpected military events are going to dominate the consciousness, the data flow suggests that we will only be able to ascertain the shift point in analysis from the near future when the central banks have all failed. So, he's saying we can't tell you exactly what, but we know when. So this is the end of June that he's saying that this is all going to happen. So there's something that's happening tonight that is going to create a tear in the fabric that holds the veil, because really the Vatican has held all the secrets. Any time anybody's come up with the truth, the Vatican have always been there to stomp them onto the ground. So, you know, anybody who's got any true scientific discoveries, they'll either eat it or destroy it. So I imagine that in the Vatican Library there are a lot of technological data that might be surprising to some, I think. But I think that there's, you know, it's got more than just the truth of religion. But this is another thing. So many, many, many religions are based on the Nicene Creed. You know, how many is it? Something like 32,000 different groups of Christians. A lot of them agree on the Nicene Creed, which was a papally induced thing, you know, as a Roman thing. So if the entire Roman church is dismantled, what's going to happen? Very interesting. Very interesting what's going to happen, because, you know, the belief in the doctrine is very similar to the belief in money that we have, the way that we treat it, and, you know, because, you know, back in the old days, if you had if you dissented, you know, you were hurt badly. The Catholics really knew how to hurt people. They made it a science. And the Nazis didn't have a thing on the Catholic Church. They really, really, really know how to torture, and have continued to do so ever since. But anyway, have I lost all my audience? I'm just going to check the chat room. So, Mother Mac doesn't see the Vatican rolling over. Well, we'll see. What Cliff is saying is that it's going to be riots. It's going to be food riots that breach the Vatican itself. But we're seeing. I mean, basically, there's a there's going to be some kind of email interception, like a WikiLeaks thing. That's what you're saying, and it comes out into the press, and, you know, it's like we all knew what it's going to say. You know, but it's going to be difficult for the general populace of the world to stomach it, and that's going to be the breaking of it. Ah, well. So, yeah, well, Islam, yeah. I think we're going to have to. They do know how to talk. Hey, Sister Tracy, what's up? Hey, in Winnipeg, yes. Now, Tracy is going to be doing some exciting things this week, all at the time of the Venus transit, and she's going to be broadcasting live at the moment of the specific thing that she's going to be doing in this building in Winnipeg, which she's been absolutely gobsmacked, because she asked, "Can I go?" And they said, "Yeah." Yeah, so like doorways have been opened for Sister Tracy to go and do her thing on the day when it's the time for the thing to do. So Venus transit, yeah, should be interesting.
So, bless your heart. So, what time's your show, Tracy? Tell everybody what your show's going to be about and stuff in the chat room there. That's brilliant. We've got about 10 minutes to go. I was going to play another song. Was I going to play another song? There was another tune. Where was it? Let me just see. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is... I'm probably not going to play it all because... Actually, I might. It's not that long. As I said, I've had this... I've been doing this music for years. Like, this long before dubstep ever came into being. I quite like it, but, you know, I'm weird. I didn't like it at the time, but anyway. This one, that was an illustration. Now, in this recording, I didn't have a decent microphone to record my ting shots, so I actually faked it by using a vibraphone sound and playing seven notes that are discordant with each other all at the same time, and it sounds just like a bell. So you'll hear this this sound that sounds like a sort of high bell, but it's not. It's a constructed sound, just to show you. This is Venus square Mars transit Uranus. We'll be right back. Venus, square Mars, transit Uranus, square Neptune. So I don't know what you what you thought of that one, because that's just weird shit music as far as I'm concerned. The sounds were made by compositing different frequencies together to make that bell sound, and all the bowls as well, the bowl, you know, things that sounded like sort of deeper clanking, they were all again using the same technique. It's quite interesting. So we've just got a few more minutes left, and so I want to thank you all for listening to me talk about stuff for the last 2 hours, and play my little tunies and talk about things that I'm interested in. Witch hunt music, really? Yeah. So is that what you said? Witch hunt music? No. Oh, it's got no wob 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 in it, so it's not exactly dubstep. Yeah, I don't know what it is. If anybody could find a genre for that. Oh, witch hunt music. I wonder what I said that you said that sounded like witch hunt to you. Yeah. So it's it's been lovely working for you this evening. I've got an hour. I'm going to play an hour of tunes of stuff. I don't even know where we're going to go further. And then in 1 hour's time, the return of Ms. Muggsy on Wolf Spirit Radio. We'll be relaying her show from Blog Talk Radio. You can call into her show. I'm sure she'll... I don't know if she's going to do any readings, but I'm sure she'll be interesting. She's been away learning things and taking the occasional post onto Facebook, like every 10 minutes. But anyway, she must have been learning something somewhere. And there's... so that's Ms. Muggsy in 1 hour's time. And that's a 90-minute show. And then I'll be... playing a couple more tunies and away to back to tossing back across the Atlantic to Dave. So, without any more ado, I'm going to play my little outro, and thank you all for coming, and thank you for thank you. Oh God, where's it gone? Oh no, there it is. Sorry about that. And yes, and thank you very much for listening. This has been ever, 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 ever.